Now, back to The Drive with Steve Jackson on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
3:38, it is your Thursday drive, abbreviated today because of the Warriors-Celtics game, the Warriors in Boston, pregame at 4:30. Also coming up, comedian Jim Short is going to weigh in on Louis C.K., Al Franken, and this mess of, pervs? It's just getting crazy. It's like the perv du jour. And Drive Brouhaha, a short one today with Mark Carpenter from Anchor Brewing. Joining us right now, he's been with us at least once, and he's going to be at Cobb's on December 1st and 2nd, a Friday and Saturday. And I'm a huge fan, and I have been for so long. And you can catch him, of course, on Curb Your Enthusiasm. The new season is in the middle right now, and I just love this guy. I've been a fan since the 80s, and he is Richard Lewis. Richard, how are you?
A nice introduction. Take care.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Drive safe.
Good night, everybody. I don't feel like weighing in on any of this on the earth right now.
Yeah.
It really is. It's spinning out off its axis. Well, you know, anyway, hi.
I'm fine.
I forgot that I was on a show. I ramble like this even when I'm alone. I'll just weigh in on myself if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sure. No problem. We're not going to see your name coming up, are we?
I retrace my brain with this. I'm down to seventh grade where I stole a fudgicle from a girl, and she was upset. And but I wound up the next day going to the ice cream guy and getting one for her and apologizing. So
you're good.
Yeah,
you're
look,
cool.
It's nothing to be joking about. I think
no,
it's
you're right.
Shift in for women and. It's very depressing. You didn't even ask me about it, but it's, you watch the news. The only thing one of the things that bugs me about it is that it's going on with so many, probably thousands and thousands of women for ages and ages. But it's the political cats and, showbiz personnel and that
yeah.
get all the women. Fantastic that they come out and tell and get rid of the shame or discuss their shame, but there's so many people that don't have a bully pulpit, and
right.
I think about them equally.
I agree completely.
Take care. I'll be opening with that routine at Cobb's December 1st.
Because it is about comedy. Yeah,
I'll tell you something. I'll ask a question to myself before you even ask me. I've been about a year and a half. I fell off a small roof in my home. And it knocked me out for about a year and a half. My goal was to get ready to shoot Curb about 6, 7 months, 8 months ago.
Yeah, I read something about that.
Yeah, the car was ready to take me. I had a gig in Vegas, and I had to cancel about 16 months. The only reason I mention it is because I've been on the road now. I'm home now, but I'm going off again. And, I've been doing this 47 years, and I've gone through all sorts of stuff in my own life, and my sweet spot is talking about my personal life, and I'm a political guy. I care about the earth. I care about the country and all that. But when I went back after I could have really been killed, quite frankly, or really injured forever, I realized that, just watching so much of the news and the run up to the election and after the election and all this stuff now. I said, you know what, I'm going to go out there and tell people, listen, take an hour off on the news, the earth, everything. It's all about me for an hour. Don't even laugh at me. And they applaud. They're sick of,
yeah.
It's not that they're sick of hearing it. It's just that it becomes very disheartening.
Sure.
So I try to relieve some of the pressure, at least when I'm on stage.
Right on. Yeah, and everyone needs that break.
They do. I need it, I've been in a zone the last 2 months on the road because, quite frankly, I have so many issues in my own life and have and overcome drug addiction and all these almost 24 years sober. So I have a lot of my sweet spot is to tell about what happened to me and why I'm still here and make jokes about it. I'd like to just eviscerate myself like an onion. And people laugh with me, at me. I don't give a crap. I just want them to just forget about all this stuff. If they're paying money to see me, let them be entertained.
Yeah, and you've done that your whole career, and it's been very successful. Your Curb Your Enthusiasm, one of my favorite all-time shows, and I've seen every episode since 2000. This year, I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And you're in it even more this year, and I love that. Are you really close with Larry David? I mean, I'd have to assume you are, because it's,
I'll tell you, man, I'll be brief with this little scenario, because I've mentioned it before, but it's okay, Steve, I'll just, for your listeners, you know, we're both 70. I was born at 47, 3 days before. I was a preemie, and I could have sworn that when he came out, and I was still in a test tube or something. I don't know what they do to you. I heard this little baby, only 3 days old, not even, just mocking me. And that would happen to be Larry, because we know for a fact that he was there in the ward. Never saw the baby again. I know. I was still. He left for Brooklyn, and I was living in Brooklyn with my family, but I still had to grow. So, you know, he never even said goodbye, to be honest, as a baby. Then about 12 years later, we're in a summer camp for sports. A very famous camp in New York State.
Wow.
We were arch rivals. We just found out about the birth thing about 2-3 months ago, and we laughed. But the camp thing was really amazing, because we were literally arch rivals. We were both pretty good athletes at that age, and we despised each other. And, you know, sometimes if you're fortunate enough to go to any kind of camp like that, you just you meet people, in my case, it was the New York, New Jersey area, and we say, hey, listen, my father's going to take me now after camp is over and during school. You say, hey, I'm going to go see Ben-Hur at the Radio City. You want to meet, bring your parents. That was no way on my plate with Larry David. He would never have wanted to have seen me again, and we never did. And then I became a comedian in the early 71, actually, I know for sure.
Yeah.
And Larry was hanging around the nightclub. He only lived in a dump about a block or two away, and we're all broke. He comes in, we become fast friends, and then he became a comedian, and he was magnificent. And we became basically the best of friends. And one night, after the show, late at night, and maybe I was putting back a few, I don't know, it doesn't matter, but I looked at him, and it's almost like a Roman Polanski film, a horror film. I said, I know you from somewhere, and I'm getting really satanic vibes or something to that effect. And he gets very nervous about this, and he wasn't a drugger or a drinker or anything. I mean,
right.
He didn't have a drink like a normal person. But anyway, we both retraced our childhood, and I said, I went to this camp. And he said, I went to a camp, too, a sports camp. I went, you're that guy? You're that Larry? You're that Richard Lewis? And
we were
just shocked that we could be best friends and not realize that we despise one another, when we were young kids. So we are bonded, and I think you see that on the show.
I do, and that's why I just assumed that you guys really knew each other well and were best friends, because it's hard to act to me like you guys, what your interaction on Curb Your Enthusiasm, it doesn't look like acting to me. I mean, you guys really know each other.
It's a good point, my friend, because I'm not sure. I always make a joke about it to friends and my wife. I go, there's not going to be an Emmy for me. Richard Lewis, for playing Richard Lewis with Larry David, who plays himself, with himself, by himself, with Richard. It's like, I don't even know if it's acting. I mean, I've studied acting.
Right.
I've done some things I'm proud of. But when I show up and you don't really have you don't have a script, he just says, you're here and you're upset that, that you took my reservation or whatever the little plot point is. And then action. And you do it a couple of times, and you move on, and you just hope that you look good when it comes out. And when I come home, I still have makeup on from the film, from the set. My wife says, "Who knows Larry as long as we've known each other?" And she says, "How long?" I mean, she says, "How did it go?" I go, "Don't." And it causes little, arguments with her. Don't ask me. I mean, she's trying to be nice, but it's the same we were like a week ago at the restaurant when we fought. Then we had it not fought, but when we had it, we didn't get along.
Right.
I mean, we get along, but I mean, I don't mean to overstate it, but we have these personalities that are like, I don't know, they don't blend perfectly, and I think you see it in the show. I mean, I share every feeling known to man. That's what my stand-up is. I feel I have to be vindicated for what I feel I went through.
And Larry mocks every feeling people have.
Yes, that's true. That's true. He does. But, he's one of the most loving, generous guys I've ever known. We have incredible respect for each other. However, I get on his nerves by blabbering about everything I'm going through, and he's much more, you know, he's certainly calm, cool, and collected, at least when I, ever since we were babies, you know. So, you know, I was very blessed to have him come to my house back in 1999 or 2000, because he knows I enjoyed acting, and I've done some roles I'm proud of. However, you know, I have been sort of pigeonholed as the neurotic guy, and that's cool.
Right.
I've had a great career and still have one, but he asked me if I would do a show with him, and I, you know, for a second I thought about the acting, and I said to myself, it's Larry David. You know, I put him in another plane, and when I was seeing him, like, this is Larry David, the Seinfeld creator, who's I consider a genius, and I said, of course, but there was one caveat for me. I said, listen, I don't want to have one show. You got to give me at least three or four to establish our relationship. He says, it's a deal. And that was a good thing that I said that. And look, you know, when you get a shot like that after, I was 50 when he came over to my house. You know, that's a long time ago. And that's the kind of breaks you need. You know, I've had a lot of breaks in my 47 years, and I always tell young artists, not that you asked, and I'm sorry, you're going to mock me after this. Young artists say, how do you do it? I said, it's all about the craft. If you want to have a life in the arts, you can't even consider money. It's just your passion is the only thing that matters in working on your craft, and then hope for some luck. In fact, even Sidney Lumet said that, who worked with 10,000 actors. He says it's luck. You have to. It's about to be ready, but if you don't have the luck, it's a drag. And I had, you know, Carson and Letterman and Jamie Lee Curtis hiring me for a sitcom back in the late 80s. And,
yeah, anything, you know, but love.
And Larry. I mean, I've been really touched by something. You know, I don't know if angels touch you. You know, I never, you know, I haven't been touched.
I think
by
they
name.
Buy you a beer, but either way. Yeah, you did co-star with Jamie Lee Curtis on the sitcom Anything But Love.
Yeah.
I remember that. Richard Lewis, the great Richard Lewis, is with us. He'll be at Cobb's on Friday and Saturday, December 1 and 2. You know, you mentioned the no scripts thing on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right.
And that's what, in my opinion, is one of the main things about that show that really makes it. Because you can tell, and I've read this before, that, as you described it, Larry will say, okay, you're mad at me and we're sitting here having lunch and blah, blah, blah. And then you guys just go for it. And it's unbelievably, breathtakingly creative.
You know, I'll say thank you, because I'm a fan of the show too, and I feel that I think that's why it's such a cult show.
Yeah,
it's totally unique, at least for, you know, as far as I'm concerned. It has had legs for 17 years. You know, when I run into, you know, people who are in their 20s or 30s, and they go, yeah, I used to watch it when I was 5 or 6. It's almost like I always get this feeling when I'm, you know, on stage. You know, I mean, I have, you know, people come in who in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 60s and 70s who have been following me, and it's like I sort of feel like I remember Don Henley saying with the Eagles, you know, they have to do certain songs. And I feel like he says he'll never sing again. I think he mentioned once in a quote, you know, I'm sitting on a road waiting for blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Jackson Brown tune. And, you know, I feel like, Jesus, I mean, all these people know me ever since they were like babies. And it's like, it's surreal for me. I'm only bringing it up because every time I go on stage, I go, how did this happen to me?
Yeah.
I just don't know. I've been really a lucky cat, man. I just, you know, and I've been in San Francisco over 40 years now, and I'm still going back, and I've never been better on stage as far as I'm concerned, so I'm looking forward to it.
Right on. And didn't David Letterman have a lot to do with your career?
Huge.
Especially on the NBC show, Late Night.
Yes, way more than, I mean, Carson was great, but Dave called me in one day to his office after his morning show didn't do well, which I thought was pretty unique and funny. But for everybody, it turned out for the world of comedy, and moreover, you know, just having Letterman on every night, which was, he was, you know, he's one of the greats historically forever. And he's called me in, and he was a big fan of mine. He once hosted Tonight Show. He said, you got to come on, blah, 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 and I did. And we just loved the yin and yang between me and him. And he said, why don't you move back to New York, and you can write for the show. He might not remember this, but I remember it like it was yesterday. And he says, and you can still do your stand-up, and you can perform on the show. And I said, I just moved out here, you know, a couple of years ago. It's just too much to move back, and, you know, I want to make it out here. He understood, but he said to me, look, he says, when I see you on The Tonight Show, you're such a physical comic. You're moving around so much. It's And he was right. In fact, even Jay Leno once said to me, you actually walked out of the camera shot. So long story short, he said, you can come on anytime you want. And I did. My life was focused from 82 on for about 8 or 9 years. Even through Carnegie Hall and all these and HBO specials, to me, that was the nucleus for my really shooting into stardom. Even yeah. though I a sitcom, all of a sudden you're seen by 20 or 30 million people. I'm a stand-up at heart. That's what I'm going to be remembered for. And he enabled my career to have tremendous longevity. And I admire him, but I'll always be grateful for that guy.
Right on. Wow. Richard Lewis is with us. He'll be at Cobb's on Friday and Saturday, December 1st and 2nd. What about the future? I mean, I know you're back on the road, thank God. Right. And what about another HBO comedy special or any other?
Well, here's the deal. I did about 4 or 5 of them, and because there's a couple of that I was on with some other, like Robin and Billy. There was a great special called, it was a special in 88. I was watching the other night with 6 comedians at the Improvisation in Hollywood, and it was live on HBO.
Yeah.
But I got to the point in my career, when I was doing specials, you got to hit the road, and they care so much, the director, the HBO, whatever network is doing it, exactly what your 55 minutes are or whatever. And and you have to really sort of fine-tune that for months.
Sure.
And it's like, wait a minute, I don't have to do this anymore. I just want to go on stage. And I look over thousands of premises weeks before. I've started doing this for Cobb's and in the hotel. And when I hit the stage, I have no idea what I'm going to remember. And that's the way I like to fly right now.
Right on.
I'm doing that way for about 8 or 9 years. It's totally a surprise to me what happens. And I ad-lib about, half the show. And, so far, it's I'm still back. I'm still going to San Francisco, so something's going right.
Yeah, I mean,
so
I can
keep doing stand-up. And thanks for asking. And who knows if Kerb will ever come back? And I'll jump on that for sure.
Yeah.
Or else I'll look for a series that I feel comfortable in. There's not a tremendous amount of roles for an older guy, but I'm still standing up and I feel good. And we'll see what happens. I think if I stop doing this. Listen, I hate to be so morose about age, but it's something that you can't shake, man. It's like I talk about it a lot on stage, and I have a feeling I have another book in me about what I'm going through and how it feels at this point in my life. So maybe I'll just take some time off and do that. I don't know.
Yeah, great. I can definitely understand how it's, I guess, more freeing to be live on stage than working so hard for the 50 minutes or whatever it is for the specials.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But something, I don't know if we have a second, but I was thinking, after I recovered from falling off the roof, and don't even ask me why the OCD kicked in about that, but I think about 47 years and being friends with, not so much that they're famous, but having the praise from people and being close friends with Jonathan Winters and being working for Mel Brooks and being friends with Mort Saul, and Shelley Berman was a best friend of mine. I go, how did this happen? So after I got up and out of the hospital and recuperated from all this stuff, I said, hey, man, I did what I wanted to do. I mean, I did Carnegie Hall 30 years ago. I said, why don't you just enjoy it? Because I never really enjoyed how hard I worked. So when I've been on stage the last 7 or 8 cities, I think it shows. I've never been more relaxed and anxious at the same time during a show. But that's what kicked in. Like, hey, man, when are you going to start to feel good about yourself? And I do now. And, you won't tell it so much from my act, but you'll
right.
I think people who are fans of mine will say, hey, he must be, he's okay,
Right on, man. I'm so happy for you. And, as I said, I've been a fan since I first saw you on Late Night with David Letterman, and Curb Your Enthusiasm. The season is, it's in the middle of the season.
Ninth season, yeah.
Yeah, ninth season. Unbelievable.
Wow.
And I'm just enjoying the hell out of it.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you. Me too, by the way. I'm as much a fan as you are.
I'm sure. The great actor, comedian, and all-around cool guy, Mr. Richard Lewis. He'll be at Cobb's Friday, December 1, and Saturday, December 2, And I'll see you there, man. I can't wait.
Oh, cool. It's a pleasure to talk to you again, and I'll see you up there.
Okay. Thanks, Richard.
Right, take
care.
A million.
All right. Yes, sir.